We are recording.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, September 21. Welcome to the Executive Committee meeting of LCRDA. I'm going to call this meeting to order. We don't have any guests, right? Electronic participation? Modifications to the agenda, anyone?
Yeah, we've got three. Peggy emailed two of them out.
Yes, 8D,
which is going to be inventory policy changes. 9E, which will be the TCC appropriation update. And then 10F, which I think Peggy also included, was the extension of our general counsel agreement for additional time. And we'll get to those as we go through. Okay? That's all I have.
All right, so
8D,
9E, 10F.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else?
I'll have a couple of verbal additions to it, but no, nothing formal.
Okay. Did we receive any public comment?
We did not.
All right. Approval of draft meeting minutes. Trust everybody's had a chance to review. Are there any edits? Hearing none, those are approved. Item number 7, the approval of the Signs and Rider Storage lease in Morgan Building.
Yes, we executed a lease with Signs and Rider to store some equipment for 6-month terms with a couple of 6-month renewals. If you recall, a prior meeting we had, we took away the need for the board to ratify all these leases. However, since it was with FSU, the language in their standard agreement still contains that this lease shall be ratified by the Board of Governors of LCRDA. If this were with a for-profit, I wouldn't be doing this. So anyway, that's in the lease as drafted by them. I did not remove it. So these folks, this group, the two of you to ratify that lease, which has already started, and then we'll have to get consent agenda, I assume, at the board meeting.
All right, so it's been moved. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's approved. Item number 8, the Treasury Report.
Yep, we do not have final information for August yet. We will by the board meeting and we'll go through it, but suffice it to say, we continue to do a little bit better than our original budgets. We still think we're going to end up the year a couple hundred grand ahead of budget for the RDA operations.
Okay.
I'll get more specifics by the board meeting. We've collected a little bit more money faster this year than we have in past years.
All right.
The next thing I have is the budgets. If you guys recall, the last exec and then board meeting, we went through an NFIL budget and an RDA consolidated budget, including the NFIL. There have been no changes to the NFIL budget since that time. There have been two updates. If you'll turn to page 7 in your package, we've kind of outlined the amended changes out to the right, and there was only two changes. We tacked $10,000 on for insurance premiums. I still do not have a final answer from insurance, but we boosted it based on everything we're hearing in the market that our insurance premiums are going
to go up.
My hunch is, well, the $10,000 is going to be fine, but I think what we're going to see is our windstorm and hail deductibles still go through the roof. So it'll be a little bit of a hollow benefit that it won't go up a lot, but the coverage will go down. The second thing we did also add was CapEx, you'll notice, went from $200,000 to $350,000. That is largely attributed to replacing one of the Liebert units in the parks, the artifact space, which is really limping along at this point.
Okay.
So we put that in the budget. I just also found out this week that we have an upstairs unit in Johnson that will need replacement. That'll probably get done this fiscal year, if possible, $40,000 for a 1995 unit.
All right.
And that was the updates on those elements. So I think we'll have to go back to the board for an approval of that amended budget, and that will be the final budget for the 2024 year.
But there's no action required of us today?
No, I'm just making you aware of it. Because it's not going to go on consent because it's a budget. So yeah, I just wanted to make you guys aware that's coming at the board meeting.
Okay.
Questions. As I mentioned, I'm still waiting on the final on property and casualty. It looks like the first quote I got is only $2,000 or $3,000 higher than last year's numbers, but they're working on some other things to get us better coverage for windstorm and hail.
Who are we talking to?
Kyle North at Brown & Brown.
Brown & Brown, still.
Yeah, okay. And Greg Japp. So yep. He said it'll be last minute is the way this works, so the carriers don't even pay attention until you get a couple weeks out, he said lately.
Okay.
So. The last thing we have, and I believe we distributed the inventory policy. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that. Basically, what we're doing is just trying to clean up some of the record keeping. Historically, if you look on our balance sheet and you went through the inventory, we had plaque signs for $400, microwave, right? We capitalized everything, which really, depending on your tax thinking, people do different things. Obviously, we're not a taxpayer, and so what we're suggesting to clean it all up is, if it's less than, I apologize,
$5,000,
we're just going to expense it, and we're just going to clean it up. So major improvements, re-roofs, things that aren't ordinary course of repair, we'll capitalize those, but everything else is going to, laptops, we got laptops in the back that literally are recorded as broken laptop. It's still on the balance sheet. It just needs to be wiped down.
Okay.
So, and we're working that through Christy, cleaning that up right now so that we have it ready for the audit this year. So it'll be about a $60,000 impact of write-down of assets, some of which cannot be located or non-functional, so it's then the cash is gone.
Mm-hmm. And so do we need to approve this?
I think we do need to approve that policy. Is that reasonable, Peggy?
I read it, it looked reasonable to me.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve it?
It's just a
okay, so I second. All in favor, aye. Aye. It's unanimous, I guess. Okay, good. All right, so number nine, right?
Yeah, Bill, I'll let you take the first four, and then I'll take the last one.
Okay. In terms of grants and sponsorship progress, we are not seeking sponsorships at this point because of the current status and the unknown status in the future. We are participating in grants through LCREA. We're waiting for Tech Hub's feedback. Should be in the coming days, really. We're working with FAMU on three grants. We'll work with FSU and FAMU on a NOAA grant that we've got all the assets for. There's a change in the Office of Research, so I'm working directly with Beth Hodges now. Mike Mitchell moved on. And we'll be working with Rick Meeker on a Department of Energy grant for the new building to add PV and other things that he thinks he can chase DOE or Commerce to get, and which would benefit his company as well. I'll cover the next part as well.
In the order of magnitude on these grants?
Does that mean probability?
Or no, the dollar magnitude.
The Tech Hubs is a crapshoot. We apply for both a designation and a planning grant. The planning grant is $400,000 over 18 months, and it's spread across the ecosystem.
When you said the ecosystem, us or some other ecosystem?
No, it requires a consortium. So okay. This would be FSU, FAMU, TCC, and the private side as well, Danfoss, and a few others. So that's what was required to apply as a designated tech hub. We applied for that as well. There's no money involved, but you are involved. If you're selected, you're invited to apply for a big grant, which is $50 to $75 million over 10 years to support the hub. Again, it's a consortium. We still have a consortium that's in place. There has to be a lead-in institution, and FSU is the lead
FSU and FAM are very involved in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. And so that's it on the money chasing.
For me. Okay.
We continue to get leasing leads. We have just begun adding a small budget to indicate the folks can tour. Today we had a tour with a bio company based in New York that has a satellite office here. They just are waiting for a number to put in their budget. So they're ready to go with a small lab.
Okay.
And so Michael and I can talk about the FF&E process. We have a meeting tomorrow to hopefully finalize the estimate on the furniture package. That may be split among two vendors. One is a registered minority enterprise vendor, which helps us in a couple of different areas. The Innovation Park TLH board has drafted a purchasing policy which will put into place in advance of authorizing these purchases so that we can document that we took a vote, it was approved, it's nobody's brother-in-law, that, you know, and because some of these will be chunky initially.
Okay.
So we'll have a purchasing policy through a memorandum that allows larger dollar thresholds initially, and then it'll ratchet back to a typical nonprofit purchasing policy aligned with guidance that the feds would require. So it's not onerous at all, but we will have one in place and we'll follow that through this.
And Lewis and Whitlock are utilizing the state contract for all of these purchases as well that we're going to be able to do through this.
So when we use a state contract, is everything that's purchased out of a state contract are all purchases equal, or do some people, like with the purchasing power of an FSU in a state contract, get a better price?
My understanding based on yesterday's conversation is that somehow FSU can do better than we can do when we buy on that. I have no experience with that.
And so do we need to, yeah.
That's a conversation we need to have. Once we get the quotes, we need to kick them over to somebody to take a look and see if that's in fact the case.
Yeah.
But we will, you know, certainly our plan is to place that order certainly during the month of October, the first week of November, just to have it in time. So that we can't dilly-dally on that exercise if we're going to place that order.
Yeah. So to the punchline, it seems like, and to Michael's comment, once we get the quote under the state contract for what our purchase order is, we then need to make sure that it's equal to whatever FSU or an
entity.
There's
a better way, there's a better way to look at it, that's right.
Yeah, we'll look at the price and logistics, because in that scenario, FSU may have to go out to bid and all of that. And I can also call Mary Jo, because I think we can add on to stuff they're buying, but if it's another purchase, then they would have to go through the same
channel. FSU may have to go through an RFP process.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. We can get that answer relatively quickly.
Okay.
Okay, and then we are awaiting, we're getting estimates on the IT access control, some of the essential systems, and we also have an estimate from the fiber provider that will require a multi-year, three or four-year deal. It's not consequential, it will be assignable, but we'll need those assets. So we'll likely have
a fiber provider to put fiber to the building or to give us
correct
service?
Just service.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's a big fiber loop that goes through the park.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there are a couple of them. So
the main thing is we just have to turn it on a little early so they can test all the systems, and we can test our access control and just make sure everything in the building works. So we can't wait until after we take delivery and put that expense on.
Yeah.
So IPTLH will have expenses beginning in October, and then more significant expenses once we get the CO, assuming that changes haven't been memorialized or in place at that point.
Okay.
We'll likely run two different inventories, which is just clerical. So we'll have the inventory of the equipment that's attached to the building, autoclaves and all that stuff, which will be LCRDAs, and we'll have IPTLH inventory. So it's basically an accounting function and figuring out which warranties go with which piece of equipment. We also have a detailed list of lab equipment that has been vetted from a few different perspectives. And so we'll assemble this puzzle in a prioritized fashion. So we got access, we got to get in and out of the building. We'll have minimally outfitted break rooms, minimally outfitted AV, and then the balance will be in lab equipment. There are also some twos and fews around. We'll need a copier, pallet jack, stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a list and we're beginning to get estimates on that. Where possible, we'll buy used equipment through IPTLH because that process will be smoother to mm-hmm. transact.
Okay.
Website. Two notes here. Christian has resigned. His last day will be 10 days. And in the interval, we'll plan to contract with a marketing resource that we've done previously. So from an economic perspective, it'll be transparent. The other hires funded by the Build-A-Scale grant are currently on hold. If and when that changes, we'll let you know. Christian and I have worked on disintegrating the website, meaning uncoupling LCRDA from Innovation Park.
Consistent with what we've talked about for a while is that to really define better right. the park and the RDA are not okay. the same. So they're going to have independent websites.
Okay, good. Yeah. Excellent. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and so we'll, as soon as that's ready, it'll be lcrda.org, I believe.
Okay.
And then innovation-park.com will remain the same. And they're both WordPress sites, and Peggy will continue to maintain the content, like minutes, et cetera, on the LCRDA site.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Just consistent with everything.
Yeah. As we've been talking about that, that's a great representation.
And our websites are cumbersome, and it's also just confusing to figure out what you're doing. But even our emails, our main email for LCRDA is an email address that says innovationpark.com. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, just trying to clean some of that up.
Okay.
Right.
And we did. We do have a separate site for the lab. It is a .org site, so it allows us to whoever to apply for Google grants, Amazon stuff. So the .org is one of the checkpoints to prove that you're a nonprofit and you're eligible for some of these things. We do have an email client set up for the lab site, and it's mostly for inquiries. And I'm the only one that has a separate email now. So we'll add that as we need to. We don't currently need anything else at this point. And that's it on the website. I mentioned Christian's departure, so I think that's all I have.
Christian Cavan?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Our marketing person.
Wait, okay.
The only thing I added was on the modification was the TCC appropriation process. We have just recently gotten a good contact that's going to help navigate that process. I don't know if I shared with everybody that of the $1.5 million, it was broken into two pieces, $750,000 of it they already have. The other $750,000 they get kind of monthly. They've already gotten 3 or 4 months worth of that since it started in July. I sent a draft back of their document to memorialize the relationship and why that money's coming to us. The initial draft had it was a relationship between TCC and the RDA. I modified it to TCC and IPTLH down at the NFIL. So that I sent that to Barbara Wills yesterday. I have not heard back from her. I did talk to her ahead of time, told her that's what I was going to do, and if there was any objection, and she said no. But I don't know if she's in town or not. I'll follow up with her in another day. That was it that I had on the number 9.
Okay, anything else on 9? Number 10, LCRDA.
You want me to give that update, or you want to give the update on the FSU FAMU? Everybody on our team, and I think I told Tom yesterday when I saw him last night that we did get that letter from FSU, very similar to the one we got from FAM. I have not let FAM know, which I need to do. Anyway, so we had a meeting yesterday with the representative from the CFO's office, as well as from Stacey Patterson's office, with Kevin and I, just to start thinking through the next steps. I think the next steps in the near term end up looking like 3 different agreements.
one with FSU and one with FAMU related to kind of the legacy buildings, if you will, and then a separate unique one for the lab, because there's a little bit more complexity for a variety of reasons with the lab versus just following the MOU from 2013. So that's the next step. Melissa has already started on that process.
Oh, good.
I have not informed her about a separate one for the lab yet, since we just kind of made that decision yesterday
at
the meeting.
And so to that point, when you come into this conversation cold, come in from the outside, the visceral response is, well, okay, yeah, it's going to be assignment of assets. It should be pretty straightforward, except for the lab is not. I mean, for all the reasons of it's on a different time schedule, the EDA applications,
right. Yeah.
The operating schedules, the
for-profit corporation
right.
Development.
Yeah. I mean, we can layer on and layer on and layer on. And so as we were having this conversation yesterday, we wanted to make sure that there's an intelligent process put in place in order to step through the sequencing of everything. And then we need to be looking at it from our perspective, from LCRDA's perspective and our fiduciary responsibility, we need to make sure that we are positioning this lab for success, as we've been talking about for the last 12 to 18 months. And there's ways to do that, and there's ways that we could stub our toe. And
we'll probably do some of both.
Yeah. And so this is all, as Michael pointed out, we started some conversations yesterday that will continue to mature over the next few weeks.
And part of the exercise, frankly, bringing some of those different parties in there, is that, A, the more people we have up to speed on all the stuff,
the faster it can get.
The better. Yeah. We may end up going to kind of a purchase contract first and then ultimately execution. And I'm sure that's effectively what happened with the MOU last time, but we may kind of step through a couple of more formal hoops just to make sure we're crossing as many T's as we can.
The in a perfect world, and we're looking at this from a macro perspective, but in a perfect world, we'd have maybe the acquisition or purchase or assignment documents under contract essentially in the next, call it 60 days, and then expect that there would be the actual assignment that would occur somewhere in the first quarter of 2024.
Obviously FSU attorneys will be involved at some point. Do they have a copy of the contract with the EDA?
Stacy does.
She does. Okay. Because there's no attorney, but there's stuff.
Yeah. So right now the lead on this has to be our attorney, Melissa. Matter of fact, I told Dustin yesterday afternoon that we needed Melissa to reach out to Dustin. Once Melissa feels like she's got her platform and her sea legs and has a game plan, then she needs to be the one that engages Dustin. Dustin will there will probably be outside counsel involved in this as well. So whether it's between LCRDA, FSU, FAMU, and whomever else, I mean, we're going to need to get a lot of people pretty smart pretty quick.
That's right.
Okay.
Next thing is a little out of sequence, but I really want to mention, I know Kevin was already aware of it, we were involved with a bank fraud and an email hack last month. Yep, somebody hacked into the Culpeper email system, sent emails on behalf of Davis Bell with updated ACH information. We did not do a 100% verification on certain things as well, and we wired money for the legitimate bill that we got from that same email from Davis and Culpeper for $790,000 to a bank in Texas. The bank in Texas was suspicious of not only the account, but the urgency with which the guy walking in wanted to withdraw $791,420.11 and alerted Hancock Bank here in town, who really was all over this thing, and we ended up getting all of our money back. Interestingly enough, it's nothing to report to law enforcement because there's no damages. I thought attempted murder was a crime, but apparently attempted theft may not be. I'm trying to figure that out. We did get something. There is an agency we can report it to for tracking, but not from a follow-up from a legal perspective.
Wow.
Anyway, so we have tightened up a couple things around here into how we move through things. I told the CFO at Culpeper we would probably call her every time before we send the money again. But it's pretty sophisticated. Apparently it happened to Culpeper a year ago. And apparently it's also pretty rampant in the construction industry right now, this exact scam. Because he was emailing, I was emailing back and forth, as was Aini with Davis, and he wasn't seeing the emails, but it was his email. Okay. It was being redirected with the rule to another mailbox in his inbox.
And so from the correspondence that I saw, the fraudster had a long view. And so this didn't happen.
He'd seen this up over a period of months.
And so except for the very first volley, which understandably that's where the hack happened. But everything post that, again over a series of months, looked like normal correspondence with the guys
at
actual email.
But no phone calls were made.
Yeah.
So it was a sophisticated hack.
And patient. And a patient hack.
And we're very grateful that it all worked out.
Perfect.
And for the benefit of you at a major bank, when I talked to the folks in Texas as well as here, they said the ones in Texas who I tried to send donuts to, it's in Floresville, Texas, which no one's ever heard of. It's a tiny little town of Chick-fil-A, no donut shop, nothing. She said the ones you really ought to thank is Hancock, because 9 times out of 10, when they suspect something, they can put it on ice for 24 to 48 hours. The larger bank never calls back. And they said they were really surprised that Hancock called them back. And what happens after 48 hours, they release the funds.
Oh, yeah.
But they said any major money center bank never calls them back. And I confirmed that with Hancock as well. She goes, yep.
I approve wires at a pretty high level at the bank. And we have some procedures, and I'll go over them with you one day, because there's 3 or 4 things that you should do every time.
Well, that'd be helpful to know, yes.
And I still am scared to death when I offer
you cut it loose. I bet. Okay, anyway, I just want to make sure everybody, and again, unless you guys object, I plan to share that at the board level for 2 reasons. One, A, it happened. And B, people should be aware of the stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the duty. Most people are embarrassed or ashamed if something happened or got scammed, but I just think that's how we educate folks.
Yep.
Update on just some different things at the lab. We talked, we had an emergency meeting, I guess it's been 3 or 4 weeks, that we had to quickly meet to determine if we were gonna move forward on 4 alternates. The pricing had gone from what was originally deducted around $200,000 to $425,000. I was assured that would not extend the project. We had our meeting, we voted to advance it. I let Culpeper know immediately to get me the documentation to memorialize that exercise. 2 weeks went by, I didn't get it. I gave Culpeper a hard time, where is it? They said it's at the architect's office. The architect said, well, they're looking at it. And I said, well, if it's what we agreed to, send it over. And of course, the next day I did get sent over to me, but it wasn't what we agreed to. It was $80,000 more, and it added a month to the project. And so I said, to those guys, that's not what we got approved at our emergency exec meeting. So now the conversation back to this group is, it's $80,000 more, it adds a month to the project. How do we want to proceed? My knee jerk is that they have possibly slipped on the job, and this extra month is covering that to the tune of that. A 50 of the 80 is mobilization for Culpeper.
Do they have, if they have slipped, is there liquidated damage of any sort that we would benefit from?
Don't know the answer, but I do know that if they slip, their mobilization cost is on them, not us, unless I paper it with a change order or effectively give cover fire for such an extension. My knee-jerk reaction is to do all the things we can get done within the pre-required time, which may be just the window shades and the water heater, and then not do the fan and the backup boiler. And if this event unfold like we think and hope they will with Florida State, that we take that money we were going to spend on that, give it to Florida State. They do not affect the operation of the building in terms of a CO. They are backup systems. FSU would like to have them. We think they're important. But to open up a can of worms that opens this, the timeline of the project, I think has a variety of other risks.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
I think that's genius. Or either just say we're not going to do it.
That's right. Just take the whole pot of money.
Yeah. So we're certainly not going to approve anything that has a price increase. If there's, which, it was the 80,000 all related?
80,000 was two components. One was, it was all of the-
General conditions.
It was general conditions of 50 grand for an extra month, and it was the-
Fan or the shades?
No, it wasn't the shades, and it wasn't the water heater. It was either the boiler or the fan. I wanna say it was the fan system.
Because it requires a crane and all.
Yep, because they gotta bring a crane in, so.
And so-
And then the guy had given him a price, but then the vendor refused to honor that price.
Went up 30 grand.
And went up 30 grand.
Okay, so the under the previous approval, or I mean, if we approve it now, and we don't approve anything that extends general conditions, and we don't approve anything that had the price increase, we can still do the other things that Mary Jo was saying are the
priority. Yeah, we can still do them afterward.
If I may, it will effectively shut down the lab at that point. Because you
explain,
you shut.
It can't tell the whole story. That's not a complete story.
Yeah.
Well, if you do them afterward,
then you have to turn things off system.
to add the second boiler. Certainly, maybe not the boiler, but the fan system. You would definitely have to shut things down for a little while to get the work done. Post CO. Yeah, when, there's no tenants in there.
So when is the CO?
Supposed to get around 1-1.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have lab tenants. For 90 days,
that's right.
then there's no problem in doing it. Is that the part that I don't know? I don't know what I don't know is for something like if it's the fan that was the extra 30,000 that would need everything else to be shut down. Is there a remobilization associated with that, or is that simply the subcontract?
We could find somebody to do it.
Yeah, that's a subcontract.
Yeah,
those guys. But they would be out. I mean, part of the appeal, frankly, of doing this the way we had originally anticipated was that Culpepper was responsible for all of it to happen.
Yeah.
And so now they're out of the mix, and we've got to sub it out to have somebody come do it. There's not a crisis to do it other than it's something you'd like to have. I mean, inevitably, Culpepper will be coming back to do things for 6 months on this project is the reality, right? I mean, that's not going to be full mobilization, but there'll be stuff that has to be dealt with.
And the original delivery date was not 1-1, right? It was
original from when?
Well, I'm going back to my comment about liquidated damages. I think when we did the contract, it was.
Yeah, there's a.
I think it's 12-1. Was the original date? Wasn't it?
No. It's longer than.
I was thinking it was like April.
Yeah. It is
March or April.
And that's what our budget show. I didn't know, but it's.
Okay, yeah. So there's not going to be a liquidated damage.
They're going to have
it. No, okay. Yes, that's correct. And I talked to Keith today. They expect substantial completion by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And they expect to have the CO pretty close to 1-1.
Okay.
And you don't think there's any negotiating on that?
We thought there was. They gave a hint there was earlier this week, and then yesterday afternoon said, yeah, no, the 80 grand is the 80 grand.
Yeah, we have a meeting with them this afternoon. But the
today,
the heads up was we think we're that it. It'll cost the 80 grand. Yep. My personal opinion is, irrespective of who owns the asset should have these redundant systems because it has to do with sustainability. And the more successful the lab is, the greater the risk that not having these systems will create chaos for the entrepreneurs in the lab.
I don't think anybody's debating whether those systems are valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, do you guys agree that if we were to approve whatever doesn't add 50 to general conditions and whatever doesn't include an extra 30 for
the fan?
It's the fan system itself, so it will be the same vendor.
Is the crane?
Well, the crane is just an element of why it's expensive and the time.
But the crane was the big.
No, no right, the vendor just.
Oh, the vendor.
Yep. Totally. The vendor just raised the price.
So not just the crane. Okay.
Yeah. They knew there'd be a crane.
So a suggestion might be to ask them what they can get done within the 1-1 time frame, and
that'd be mine.
that's the frustrating point, because we were assured that by cutting the major surgery item out, that
we would be fine. Yeah.
That's why I rushed to have the business.
That's right.
So now I've lost confidence in whatever the date. Yeah. Because we open up an exposure, but the change order, shades should not. Water heater, I was told, would not. Now, that was in a conversation I had with Davis Friday, that the only, I said, what can we do? I asked this exact question. What can be done inside the 1-1 or with inside without mobilization extension? He said, the only thing you can get done are the shades and the water heater. I don't have great confidence that if I ask that question this afternoon, I'm going to get the same answer.
I got you.
Okay, so what I'm okay with is we do any of the elements from the previous approval that don't add an inflated cost and don't add to general conditions and don't add to time.
And that'd be my recommendation. It's imperfect.
Yeah. You good with that?
I am. If they came back and said we can meet the timeline, but the subcontract cost is X number of dollars more, I'd think about it.
I think that's very fair. If they came back and said, look, we can also do the fan system and we'll get it ducked in with 1-1, it's still going to be $30,000 more.
Right, I would consider.
I think that's up, because I think the time becomes a more important element for me for the moment than the extending. If we can get it done without the extended mobilization, the costs probably are the costs.
Yeah.
It's just that they extended the time, I think, it just opens up a new exposure for
it. I mean, I hate the $50,000 is what's the big, I know costs go up on jobs. I mean, I've seen it, that's what I do every day, it's what you do every day. But the general conditions things, they're probably buying.
And remember, the original plan, as Bill said, was supposed to be April.
Yeah.
Now it's costing me an extra $30,000 to have January, an extra $50,000 for January. That's a lot.
I'm sure they've looked at the contract. Maybe we look at the contract again.
Yeah. I mean, we have this call today. I don't really care. I don't doubt that those are their numbers now. And so they want to do a postmortem today on how they went from 427 to 5. It doesn't matter. We are where we are. So I don't want to do any more brain damage on the history. I just need to know what we are from here.
I would recommend we do the additional work, but absolutely not pay any general condition extension.
We can have that conversation with them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And just to reiterate, I would be willing to circle back on the FSU side to, and Mary Jo said, yeah, definitely need these and don't need the vent system. So my opinion is that FSU wants these systems, and it's a question of when.
Okay.
And I don't know that it will save any money if FSU does it later.
Well, it may not.
Yeah, so your motion is previous approval, so long as it's not an incremental $50,000 of general conditions, and then peel out whatever element is creating
a delay.
If that's, yes.
We'll pay the extra 30.
30,000.
Yep. And we just put everything done by 1-1. Whatever you can fit into there, if that means the extra 30,000, so be it.
Yeah.
Or they eat the general conditions and it takes the 2-1 and they do all the work.
Yeah.
We're okay with that too?
Yep.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
It's the same answer.
Okay. So you good?
Yeah, if they do it all for $30,000 more, then we're going to live with it.
Yep.
And remember, that takes us from, just to give everybody kind of round it out a little bit, we had $50,000 in change orders before. We've got another $50,000 apparently coming that I have no detail on yet, that they just warned us it was coming. And then you've got whatever this is somewhere between 400 and 500. So that could be 600.
Two-thirds of our.
Yeah, it could be 600 of the 900 and change.
We'd be left with 300.
$300,000.
I'm okay with that. I know.
If you build stuff, that doesn't strike you.
See on any of my projects in the last 2 years.
And so it's hard to count the 300 or 400 or 500 we spend on these add-backs as really the contingencies, because these are in fact add-backs. They're not construction issues that occurred during construction. So they've really, when you think about $100,000 on a project of this scale and this time, that's pretty modest.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. You were going to say?
I would want to get at FSU's point of view, because again, it could be disruptive to the owner of the building, given the timing. Because again, they'll have to go out and procure it, to do it. So,
and again, those are their problems. We don't work for FSU, we work for the RTA.
I understand that. If assuming that we're operating it, as we are taking in tenants, we'll have to shut it down.
Well, yeah. Not if they agree, won't we?
That's
a motion that we agree, but okay. We won't.
Anyway, I said my.
No, I'm not going to get taller, but I do know there's a chance they'll say yes about that.
They would agree to it. They would agree to it.
That's right.
Like I said, the other thing was still 1-1. The air conditioner is supposed to be turned on this afternoon. That was, I could have given you a second. I would have said that to you 10 days ago, so I don't know. The elevator status over at Morgan and Johnson, the Fuqua Center, elevator is complete for the most part, with the exception of some floor, and there's a couple of punch-out items. We've paid for almost all of it. We got a little bit of holdback on that. They will start the Johnson elevator probably in the next 60 days. They're getting all the permitted exercise going on in there. So that project is finally moving. It will drift into next fiscal year in terms of funding. When you look at our cash flow models, I'll show that.
Yeah.
So it's moving there. A couple of leasing updates. I think everybody's aware the Red Cross has been in and out, and they're expected to come back in for the next home game, and that may be the end of the Red Cross using the facility. They've been very appreciative of that. The National Park Service has mentioned again that they would like to expand the artifacts room. That is probably a multi-year process for them to undertake. I've got nothing more formal than conversations at this point.
So to go back to Red Cross, yep. Publicly acknowledge, thank you, Michael, for all the coordination that you did to get them in. That has very little, if anything, to do with the mission of our park, except for the fact that we all understand the logic behind assisting, and it was the right thing to do, and Michael pretty much dropped everything to make sure that they were well accommodated, and I appreciate you for doing that.
My pleasure. Career Source, as you guys know, is moving out in February of next year. Just give you an update on Idea Lab. We had two tenants that had been here for a little while, moved out. One moved out after 30 days after they realized and signed a lease and paid a month that they had no funding whatsoever. The other one was here a couple of months, couldn't afford it. We have released people from anything punitive, and if their place looked good, we just don't want to be. I mean, we got an empty building here. I can't be trying to fight people over security deposits.
Right.
If they can't pay, they can't pay. We did gain a new tenant that started the lease last week, $2,300 a month for at least the next 6 to 8 months, which is more than we lost with the two tenants that moved out. So we got a little pickup there.
What tenant is that?
Just curious. It's the Tallahassee Robotics Club. We'd given him a billet book with them a while back, and he gave them some free space for a while, and then they got a grant and they wanted more space, and they asked for it for free, which they're perfectly entitled to request that, and we declined. But we did come to an agreement on 3 or 4 offices for the next 8 months. They're ramping up for some big competitions. And so, yeah, they're paying $2,300. They took two of the bigger rooms and a smaller room, and we could let them continue with the free space they have. And I think they're good with that.
So, and where is that space?
Here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, but on this side, right?
On that side.
On that side?
Yep.
Okay. So do we have, for tomorrow, do we have a graphic that shows what's available and what's not?
We'll have to take them out. We have not updated it for that.
Yeah.
And remember, all that stuff, that's a 6 to 8 month lease.
Yeah.
They're all out relatively quickly.
Yeah. So for tomorrow's purposes, if we can have
we can make some X on a map, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also to understand what those time frames are.
Okay. We have another tenant that wants to do some little more extensive, longer term project here in this building. He's doing what's called a dry box. We're gonna think with your arms go in, you do some work, and then he also is talking about a glove box, and then there's a dry room where you dehumidify the whole place for doing certain battery research. Those are both relatively expensive undertakings, and unfortunately one of the things we figured out through the exercise is our doorways to get in and out of this building do not accommodate bringing in the equipment. So we just got a price yesterday to widen a couple doorways, go from 3-foot doors to 4-foot doors. You can't get a pallet in the building. We don't have a loading dock, so it's got to be put out on the ground. There is a path through the lab, but then we have to widen the door out of the lab and then into the office he wants to use. So I'm going to expect those guys to pay for it. They'll have a lot of ventilation work to do. They've got a bunch of stuff they'd have to spend, not to mention the box itself is very expensive. So I did talk to Dr. Weatherford. Would you like that kind of tenant? Because if he's going to spend that kind of money, it's probably going to be a little longer term lease. And Weatherford said they would love to have that kind of tenant space. That was, again, we'll see. I don't know. These guys may balk when I tell them that I expect them to pay for the widening of the door on their office. One of the things I considered today was
making a 4-foot door out of the lab. We would split it with them just because that's a benefit to us for anybody else who has to get things into the building.
Are they are all the walls sheetrock walls like this?
I believe so, but
that
I
don't know. Cost much.
It's the there's, it's
exterior.
Five, well, now we found a way to avoid an exterior.
That won't cost much.
It's $5,000.
I mean, you can do that on a weekend.
We can make the hole. I don't know if we can do the rest.
It's a 4-foot door.
It's a wide. It's a weird door. So yeah. It's $2,500 worth of materials. $2,500 worth of labor for the two doors total.
Yeah. What's up?
So $3,750 is what I'm asking him to pay, and we'll pay $12.
Yeah, that's not bad.
If he'll do it, so we'll see. I just got that yesterday.
Unless Tom will do it on the weekend.
Tom said he could do it.
Kramer.
Couple other just things about the building. One of the ACs in Johnson upstairs in an unoccupied space other than for the Red Cross right now has died. It is from 1990, not died, it is not working right. It is from 1995. It is a $10,000 repair or a $42,000 replacement. I am inclined not to repair a 28-year-old air conditioning unit, sadly. We're getting one more quote today and then we'll have to move forward on that. So I don't know if I need a motion to approve that or anything. I don't.
You got it if you want it.
But I got to get moving on.
There's no sense in.
Yeah.
It won't get cheaper. Yeah. What I'm learning with air conditioners is they're not getting cheaper month to month. It seems like they're going up month.
Yeah, and they're not getting better as they get older.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been moved. I second it. We're all in favor. We're okay. Unanimous.
Okay. And then the last thing I had is that we were notified by one of our tenants in the Johnson building about a mold issue. The pictures they sent me were from 2020. Which is weird. I think there was some internal stuff that happened over there with an employee that was disgruntled, and there were old pictures, and they didn't respond appropriately internally or did. We had the building air quality tested on Tuesday, and we'll get the results of that today, and we'll deal with what it is. We don't anticipate there to be a thing, but we'll have done the tests. We got them out here as quickly as we could.
Okay.
Last thing I had under number 10 is the legal contract extension. So you guys were sharing, it's just an extension of Melissa's agreement. There's no obligations really on our part other than she's our general counsel and she has agreed to continue the existing rate for 2 more years.
Right, and I'm signing
so
that.
If we need it longer or shorter, it doesn't have a monthly retainer element.
So do we need to do that here at exec or do we need to do that at the board meeting?
I would, easy for me to say, I would execute it here and then ratify it at the board meeting.
Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll move.
Okay, and second, are we in unanimous?
Yeah.
We're in unanimous. what's the date? The 21st?
Yep.
Yes.
The last thing.
I real quick on that. I'm guessing as we move forward the next couple of 3 months, we're going to spend
legal fees.
A lot of legal fees. Have we got any of that baked in budget?
We have some, and we carried over a lot of our legal expenses from last year.
Okay.
This year's budget. Because we had anticipated it far more in legal fees for this fiscal year than we spent.
Okay. So we think we might have enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
And we've probably got enough baked in another place or two that it'll just be professional fees. It's a little bit of a broad category.
Right.
Last thing I had, which is number 11, I'm sorry, I think it's like 10, my mistake. DRC update, the Development Review Committee met last week. I've already forgotten how long it was. The Department of Transportation wants to build a vehicle shed in the back of their property, meets all the setback requirements. The idea is the sun and the elements are just beating up all of their equipment that's very expensive that they use to go maintain and do research. And it's going to be a 23 feet high, so it'll stick up a little bit over the tree line. Certainly nowhere near the 50-foot towers, and the DRC committee unanimously agreed that that was within scope.
Okay.
So I want to make sure everybody aware of it. That's
not, it was not unanimous.
That was not unanimous. You're right. I'm sorry. Kim voted against it.
Okay.
Because she can, and the reason she voted against it more than probably we needed is that she said, "Well, it's potentially temporary, and we're not supposed to have temporary structures because they can take it down. It's one of those. It'll be anchored into the ground. No concrete pads, so no impervious soil, but it is a structure."
Shelter.
The shelter that you can take down. They plan to leave it obviously for the balance of their lease to 2037, and the rest of the group thought it was okay.
Okay. Is there an action item on that? Or are we good?
Nope.
Good.
Okay.
And I don't know if that needs to be covered at the board meeting or not.
No, we'll include a DRC report.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Is there any new business? Hearing none, motion to adjourn?
I'll move it.